There's a book that I read a while ago that impacted me, well, in very positive ways, called Radical. I just want to share a story that David Platt shared to start off with here. On a scorching November day, I was sitting in the middle of the vast African landscape, sipping hot tea with my friend Bulin. We were surrounded by damaged buildings in a land ravaged by 20 years of civil war. What used to be a thriving community in Sudan was now seared and saddened. Thousands upon thousands of Bulin's brothers and sisters in Christ had died around him at the hands of a militant Muslim regime. There are brothers and sisters as well. Bulin had been separated from his family as a child. He'd grown up in Sudan and on his own. But as I looked across at his dark, slender face on that day, I was struck by the contagious smile that shone whenever he spoke. We were talking about God and how God had worked in Bulin's life, bringing him to trust in Christ when he could trust in no one and nothing else. We discussed what God was doing in each of our lives, and we talked about the plans that we thought God had for us in the future. In the middle of the conversation, Bulin lowered the cup of hot tea from his lips. He looked me in the eyes and he said, "David, I am going to impact the world." Interesting statement. He was a guy in the African bush with no resources. A guy who hadn't seen much of the world beyond the villages that surrounded him. A guy who, by all outward appearance, did not have much chance of changing his own lot in life. "Bulin, how are you going to impact the world?" I asked. "I'm going to make disciples of the nations," he said. "So you're going to impact the world by making disciples of the nations?" That grin immediately spread across his face. "Why not?" he asked. Then he went back to sipping his tea. I'll never forget those two words. Why not? World impact is what Jesus had in mind when he envisioned the church. When he envisioned you and he envisioned me. And he told us to go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that I have taught you. And remember, I'm with you to the end of the age. World impact is what Jesus had in mind. That is God's plan. And he invites each and every one of us individually and we together as a congregation and all the congregations who are committed to Jesus across the globe to join him in that. But the insight that Jesus shared with his disciples is still true of us today. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his field. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Pray. God, I'm praying right now that this morning your Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts and minds. That you would work in us. That you would open our eyes to the harvest field and that you would draw us. Thank you for Rebecca and Lydia's example. We pray that you would bless them as they head out. But God, I pray that you'd help us to realize that we don't have to go to Uzbekistan. But there are people in our neighborhoods, people who are our co-workers, people who we play pickleball with, people we go to school with, people in our cohorts who need Jesus. And you have placed us in their lives, and we pray, Father, that you would draw us to that harvest field. In Jesus' name, amen. He sends us out into his harvest field, but he does not send us alone. He puts inside each and every one of us who have been fed, committed ourselves to follow Jesus, the helper, as we talked about last week, or our advocate, the Holy Spirit. He is inside each and every follower of Jesus with a purpose. So we learned last week that he's called a parakletos. He's called the helper, he's called the advocate. But we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the first parakletos. He's not the first helper. He's not the first advocate. Jesus said that when he went back to the Father, he would, and here was his words, he would ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, another helper, to be with you forever. Land on that phrase for a second. This helper will be with God's people forever. There are two Greek words that are translated another. One of them is heteros, and that means another of a different kind. The other one is allos, and that means another of the same kind. So there was a helper or advocate that came before the Holy Spirit? Yes. And the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind. That first advocate, well, his name is Jesus. My little children, John says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate, we have a helper, we have a counselor, we have a comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But while Jesus was in the flesh, he could only be with one person at a time. He could only be in one place at a time. The Holy Spirit joins Jesus as the advocate, but he's not limited by flesh. He takes up residence inside of every single person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus. Permanent residence, it says, he will be with you forever. Let that sink in. Not limited by flesh, he takes up permanent residence inside every disciple, transforming us to join us on the Father's mission to transform the world. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. Holy Spirit isn't about coming and giving us really cool gifts. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us to transform us so that we can join him on the Father's mission to transform the world. World impact is what he wants to accomplish, beginning in us and then working out through us. The permanently indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is a never-before-experience of God that humanity to have before Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and ascended to the Father. Never before had this happened. The Holy Spirit used to come on people for specific purposes, but the Holy Spirit would also leave. One of the first big instances we see the Holy Spirit coming on someone was King Saul. But it's also the first time we saw somebody leave. 1 Samuel 16:14 says, Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. David recalled with such horror the change that he saw in King Saul that when David sinned, and we know he sinned big, David's prayer to God in Psalm 51 was, cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, I want you to understand, This is not a Baptist thing. This is a Bible thing. The passage says that the Spirit would come and live within God's people forever. So, because Jesus died, because he was resurrected, and he ascended back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to take up residence inside of God's people, to take up permanent residence inside of God's people, the disciples, to be with you forever, John 14:6. Mark that down. While Jesus was with them, while he was walking on the earth with the disciples, the Holy Spirit was in him. And so the Holy Spirit was with them. That's why it says in John 14, he was with you and then he will be in you. So he was with them, guiding, teaching, directing, as Jesus followed his lead. Now, Jesus freely limited his prerogatives as God while he was on the earth in the flesh. That's Philippians 2. He didn't become less God. He was 100% God, 100% man. And as this unique being that none ever had been like and will never be like, he limited his free prerogatives, his free exercise of his prerogatives as God. And the Spirit was with the people, with the disciples, as he was in Jesus. And then in John 14, again we see, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, another of the same kind, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world does not want him. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. He doesn't make any sense to them. You know him because he lives in you now and will be with you and will be, excuse me, because he lives in you now and later will be in you. He was living with them in the presence of Jesus and then he will later be in you. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father as a result of Jesus' prayer. And when Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit down. Now, what does it mean to say that the Spirit lives in you now and later will be in you? Paul makes a really great comparison that helps us understand. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Think about that. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the past, people used to have to go to the temple if they wanted to have any kind of connection with God. And God kept people at a distance because he is holy. And whenever unholy people come into his presence, it ends poorly for them. The most holy place in the temple was called the Holy of Holies. This is a place where God met with the high priest once a year, after a very time-consuming and exacting personal preparation was made for and by the high priest himself. This encounter between the high priest and God took place on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would sprinkle the blood of a lamb that was slain to atone for the sins of the nation on the mercy seat, which was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. A lot of detail. A lot of stuff had to happen for this to take place. But it was such a dangerous undertaking that the high priest's robe was lined on the bottom on the hem with bells and pomegranate seeds so that they could hear him walking and jingling and making noise. If the noise stopped, they held their breath because they didn't know what was going on. They also tied a rope around his leg in case this guy did something dishonoring to God and God struck him dead in his presence, so they could pull him out without risking themselves by going in and seeing God unprepared and losing their own lives. That is what this is all about. When Jesus died, the curtain that cut off access to the Holy of Holies was torn in two, from top, where a human hand could not reach, it was so high up, to the bottom, signifying open access to God, signifying that God's Spirit was no longer just going to be there. God's Spirit was now going to be in God's people. And now here's where it gets amazing. We want to talk a sense of awe. Because of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, no longer would access to God be gained through a sacrifice offered every year on behalf of the nation that only one person could go in and interact with God over. Access was now freely offered to all through Jesus' once and for all sacrifice offered on behalf of all who come to God through faith in Jesus. That's a huge change. And when someone, anyone, everyone, each of us comes to God through faith in Jesus' sacrifice, it begins an instantaneous change that leads to a chain reaction, all of which is encapsulated in what John the Baptist said Jesus came to do. In Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John says this. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, and he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus, He, Jesus, baptizes us with or in the Holy Spirit. Spirit baptism does not happen at some other time. It happens at that moment when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. We are baptized by Christ with the Holy Spirit, and that makes us part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 lays this out for us. It says, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. It happens at the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Now, once Jesus baptizes a believer with the Holy Spirit from that point lives inside the disciple. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in you. This is what Jesus was talking about with the woman at the well. John 4. Everyone who drinks of this water, regular H2O, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him or her will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him or her will become in him or her a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It begins in the individual, and then it begins changes that impact others. But the Holy Spirit is not just for you, and is not just for me as individuals. The Spirit's transforming change always begins personally. You're not a believer, you're not a disciple, you're not a follower of Jesus because your parents were. Just because you're standing in the field doesn't make you a tractor. You must come to God personally. You must recognize your sin, must turn from it, ask Jesus to forgive you and all of your sins, and invite him to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. You must do that individually. And when you do, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he begins a transformation that takes place immediately, but continuously throughout your life and through all of eternity. That is what he says he will do. And then he expands his transforming work from your life into the lives of those with whom you have influence and contact. He wants us, that water that wells up inside of us, that quenched our thirst, he wants to quench their thirst. On the last day of the feast, Jesus said in John 7, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his or her heart will flow rivers of living water. That's how it worked with the woman at the well. Jesus so impacted her that she left her jug behind. I mean, she thought that her real need was thirst. It was the middle of the day. It was hot. She wanted water. But if that was truly her need, she would not have left her jug behind her. Jesus met another need. After her friends had an encounter with Jesus, they said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. It's a transformation that began in her. She shared it with others, and he began to transform them as well. That is what this is all about. The Holy Spirit lives in you and me to transform our lives and to include us in the Father's mission to transform the world. You want to impact the world? Make disciples of all nations. Bulin's got it right. Did you know that 33 separate and distinct things happened in you, for you, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus? 33 things. These things were done in you instantaneously. They happen simultaneously. And they're all based on Jesus' finished work on the cross. And they are eternal. Here is what they are. I'm just going to list these off. Okay? Now, if you want a copy of these with scripture that you can study it for yourself, I'd be happy to give that to you. Take out the contact card in the pew in front of you and just write down your email address and that you want the list of the 30, just write the word 33, and I will get them to you. Here it is. You are part of God's eternal plan. You recognize for the first time you're part of God's eternal plan. There are five things that happen in this. This is not one of the 35 or 33. Five things happen that help you understand you're part of his eternal plan. You were foreknown, you were predestined, you were elected, you were chosen, and you were called. All of that comes together under that one heading. You're part of his eternal plan. Second thing, you were redeemed. You were reconciled. Your sin debt was paid in full. You were forgiven. You were conjoined to Christ. Along with everyone else, you were joined to Christ. You were free from the law. You're a child of God. You're adopted as an adult child with all the rights and responsibilities of an adult child. You were justified. You were made right. You were delivered from the power of darkness. You were translated into the kingdom of God. You were planted. You were a gift from God to Jesus Christ. You were circumcised by Christ. You're a partaker of the holy and royal priesthood. You're part of a chosen generation, holy nation, and peculiar people. You're a heavenly citizen, part of the household of God, part of the fellowship of the saints. Part of the heavenly association, you have access to God. You're an object of God's love. You are God's inheritance. You're an inheritor from God. You're light of the world. You're united with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are the first fruits of the Spirit. You have been glorified. You're complete in God. You're a possessor of every spiritual blessing. Any of that excite you? Let that sink in. We're going to take a minute and we're going to pray. I'm going to tell you the couple things I'm going to invite you to pray with me. But I want you to keep your eyes open because I want you to hear this from me. I want you to thank God for all that he did and all that he's given you in Christ. And I also want you to ask him to help you grasp and live into the fullness of all that he's given to you. Now, here's why I wanted you to watch and to listen carefully. I want you to start with just one. That list of 33 things is long. And you go on, you're thinking about one, you go on to the next one. Here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to listen carefully as I read the list again. And ask the Spirit to highlight one of them. One that just stands out to you. And I want you to thank God for it. Ask him to help you live into the fullness of that one thing. Okay? So close your eyes. And as the one stands out to you, talk to God about it. You are part of God's eternal plan. You are redeemed. Reconciled. Your sin debt was paid in full. You're forgiven. You're joined to Christ. You're free from the law. You're a child of God. You're adopted as an adult child. You're made acceptable to God. You're justified. You're made right. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of God. You're planted. You're a gift from God to Jesus Christ. You're circumcised in Christ. You're a partaker of the holy and royal priesthood. You're part of a chosen generation, holy nation, peculiar people. You're a heavenly citizen. You're part of the household of God. You're part of this fellowship of the saints. You're a part of the heavenly association. You have access to God. You're an object of God's love. You are God's inheritance. You're an inheritor from God. You are light in the world. You are united with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are the first fruits of the Spirit. You're glorified. You're complete in Christ. You're a possessor of every spiritual blessing. Ask him to help you live in the fullness of that one that stood out to you. Father, thank you for this holy silence. Let your Spirit speak into our lives. May we live into the fullness of what you've brought to our mind and all the things you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All this happened in you, for you, and to you to prepare you to join Jesus on his mission to share himself, the living water, with every thirsty soul. Out of your heart flows rivers of living water because so many people are still thirsty, so many people need to know, and so many people are looking for to have their thirst quenched in every other thing this world offers, and they will only find it when they find it in Jesus. He is the only source. So we're going to pray one more time. And I'm going to ask you to join with me and ask the Spirit to bring someone into your life, bring someone to mind right now, and bring someone into your life who is thirsty for Jesus. And if that someone is you, I want to ask you to take this time and cry out to him. Ask him to come into your life. to quench the thirst of your soul. For those who already know Jesus, spend a moment. Ask God to bring someone into your life who is thirsty for Jesus that you can share with. Father, thank you for the mission that you have set for yourself to redeem and restore all of your creation, starting with humans who are far from you. Thank you for the living water that is Jesus, that you offer to anyone who will come to you by faith. We pray that you would bring someone into our lives this week who does not know you, and that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we recognize that person and give us the courage to share our love for Jesus with them, to tell them our story. Pray that you would draw them through us. In Jesus' name. Well, maybe you think Bulin's plan to impact the world is rather quaint. Make disciples of all nations. But it's exactly the plan God has in mind, and you and I get to be part of it. If we rely on him, we can know he will give us all that we need. And Jesus sends us with his authority, and he sends us with the Holy Spirit who resides in us. And the only question is, will we accept his challenge to join the Spirit on the Father's mission to transform the world?